As most of you probably are aware, that I made a video and presentation about the calendar. And because of that calendar video and presentation, there have come to my attention that there are questions about the Noachian flood. Now, in the calendar presentation, I do not go into the detail of the flood, showing how all of these things came about, how these days, I just presented the days and went on from there. It seems like there were questions about, well, how did you come to these days? How did you calculate them, etc.? Well, this is why we are going to have this video, this present video right now. And I'm going to start in the Bible in chapter 7 of Genesis. But before I do that, I would like to, by way of explanation, tell you how it came about that I started doing a study of the Noachian flood. It came about because there was, in 2008, and that's when I wrote the article, there was a rather large flood here in the Midwestern United States. As some of you may recall, on the news broadcast, seeing a house being washed away down the river, some of these things. And as a result of that, I thought it would be a good idea to go back and look at the Noachian flood. After all, this flood came along, and it kind of perked my interest in looking at the Noachian flood. And so I was preparing a sermon to give the brethren on the Noachian flood. And as I went through the chapter 7 and chapter 8 of the flood, the account, it struck me that Noah recorded all of these times and dates, months, days, passage of time. And to me, at first, I thought, why would I be interested, really, in the fact that it happened on the second month and the 17th day of the month? It's it's of no importance, really, that I, at least at that moment in time, thinking about it. And then I thought, well, God puts this information in the Bible. He doesn't put it in there as an exercise. He puts it in there for a very good reason. And then as we think about this, well, was it Noah who really was responsible for this account, giving this account? And, well, you might say in the physical sense he was. But we also know that John, in the book of John in the New Testament, in verse 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God." And so we understand that, and we refer to Christ as the Word. Well, even more directly, if we look at chapter 15 of John, we find it's some interesting information there. Information that mostly the religious people of this world ignore. And let's take a look at it. We'll start reading in verse 1 of chapter 15. "And I am the true vine." This is what Christ, he's saying. "I'm the vine," he's speaking, "and my Father is the vine dresser." Well, think about that. What does that mean? What does the vine dresser do? Well, Christ tells us, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." So What does this tell us? This tells us, of course, that the Father is in charge of our spiritual development. Rather interesting. And we continue in verse 4. He says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." So he makes this comparison, you know. If you cut the branch off from the vine, of course, it dies. And what he's really saying here, let's read verse 5, "And I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered." And so, what do we realize from these verses? Well, we realize that Jesus Christ was the one responsible for the recording of the Noachian flood. And he had a specific reason for this. At the time, of course, when I was looking at this, I was really, you know, I thought, well, there must be a reason for him putting all of this in here. I need to take a more careful look at what Christ recorded here in Genesis. And so we'll go back to Genesis chapter 7, and we'll start reading in verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation.'" And he tells him, you know, you take certain numbers of animals with you into the ark. And then we drop down to verse 4. And he says, "For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all the living things that I have made." This is what he is going to do. Verse 5, "Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him." And this is an interesting thing. If you are a Bible student, you would know that this is a very important thing. Following the instructions that God lays down for us, this is an important thing. Verse 6, "Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth." So he gives his age. Okay, that's interesting to know. And actually, all of these things are important in different aspects. But the age of Noah for this particular presentation is not of that importance. "So Noah went with his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the flood of the waters." So we continue on. And in verse 10, it confirms what we had read before. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Well, actually, if you understand the passage of time, this is going to tell us an important thing. And actually, this happens to be the 47th day of that 600th year of Noah's life. Now, how we come to that is the first month of the year has 30 days. The reason for 30 days is because the average is 20 of the cycle of the moon is 29 and a little greater than a half. And so mathematically, you would t- take that first month would have 30 days. And so then by taking that half day, that means the second month would have 29 days. But we're only interested in the first month, so we know that the first month contained 30 days. And as we see, on the 17th day of the second month is when the flood started. And as a result, let's read that whole verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, on that day the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So this is clear. This is another passage of time that we're looking at. Verse 13, on the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. And it goes on, it talks about the animals in the ark. And we come to verse 17. And it says, now the flood was on the earth 40 days, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed greatly, increased on the earth, and the ark moved about the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth. And all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. And the waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And so what this is really saying is that the, and this is an important consideration. And at first, you may not think much about this, but this is an important point to keep in mind. The fact that the mountains were covered to 15 cubits, every mountain. Not just Mount Ararat, but all of the mountains of the world. In verse 21, it says, "And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, beasts, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died." So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things, birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And so we see, and here is another key statement, and the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. So we can see that if we look at this the way it's recorded, we should see that we have 30 days in the first month. We have 16 days up until the day that the flood started. We have 40 days of the flood. And then we have another 150 days that the level of the water was maintained. This is an important consideration. Now, we need to take a closer look at some of the things that have been brought to my attention over a period of time that I had written about this article, and that was the idea that, well, the first 40 days are part of the 150 maintained days. One says, whoa, is that true? Well, let's take a look at the account and think about what is being said here and determine whether in fact, well, is that really true? Is that really the way it could it be? Well, let's take a look and see if it can be. going back to chapter 7 and verse 24, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Now, that prevailed, that word prevailed there means strong or mighty. Well, would you say that the waters were strong or mighty on the first or second day of the 40 days of rain? Well, not really. They weren't mighty until after the flood had reached the apex. Well, what was the apex? Well, it was the 15 cubits higher than the highest mountain. This is something that you need to keep in mind. And starting in chapter 8 of Genesis, then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. And I say that there could be a bit of confusion here. Now we see that after the 150 days of the prevailing waters, we have another 150 days. And the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. So we can see that this next 150 days is a period in which there was no rain. Contrary to the first 150-day period where it was prevailed, it was still raining to maintain the level of the water. At that 15 cubits above the highest mountain. And we're going to continue on. Verse 3, and the waters receded continually from the earth, and at the end of 158 days, the waters decreased. So here we have that second 150 days. And if you would add all of these days up, you would see 30 days for the first month, 16 days for the second month, 40 days for the rain, 150 days for where the level was maintained. And of course, it would be clear that God did that for 150 days to ensure that every air-breathing animal was succumbed or died in the flood, excepting those on the ark. And so it's just something that we should consider. And so then when we look at this, we see that there's another 150, that second 150 days. And when we add up all of those days, we come to a grand total of 386 days. And when I was working on this, 386 days, we just naturally expect it would be 365 days a year. But it wasn't. It was 386 days. And this kind of caused me to think about this. And so let's continue to read. And we see in verse 4, this is kind of a puzzle here, verse 4, because it says, then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the Mount of Ararat. All right. Well, how many days in the seventh month? Up to the seventh month. And let's see, it says, in the seventh month, the first day of the month, we're back here in verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month. Well, let's take a look at how many days we're talking about here. How many days would that be? So if you have, we have 6 months, and the total of 6 months would be 187 days. And so if we add the 187, if we add that 17 to that, we would have 204 days. All right? And if we have 204 days, we would see that if you add up the days, as I have shown, that the Bible shows, that you would have 236 days. So it was clear that at the start of the decreasing of the waters, you would have had 236 days have gone by, and then the waters would have started to decrease. Well, what's the point about this? The point about this is the fact that, remember that we talked about all of the mountains being covered. And of course, it was necessary that they all be covered to ensure the death of all air-breathing animals. And as a result of that, we have to think about, well, what happens, what if we look at the height of these mountains that we know exist? Well, Mount Everest is 29,000 feet tall, plus the 15 cubits. Mount Ararat is 17,000 feet tall. There's roughly about a 2-mile difference here between the tops of the two mountains. And so we could understand that there is no way that in the seventh month, you see, the seventh month, the waters were still being maintained in the seventh month. They hadn't started even to recede. So that means that Mount Ararat was covered with a lot of water at this time, in the 17th day of the 17th day of the seventh month. It was covered with a lot of, well, How do you explain this? Well, it's quite clear when you look at the word rested. The word rested is, this is an important word. And it doesn't mean that it was setting on something, but that word really is a word that means it came to a local. And really, what we need to understand about this is that the ark came to the location that God wanted it to be at in the seventh month. It was moving from wherever he started, and it reached this area that God wanted it to reach, Mount Ararat, and so it stopped there. God miraculously caused the ark to remain there for the rest of the time. And you might say, well, this is pretty nice because, after all, you know, the floodwaters were kind of ruckus and wild. And so that meant that that our ark was not just exactly what you would call a joyride. And as a result of that, they undoubtedly, Noah was, and obviously recorded the date, was quite pleased that, you know, things calmed down. And they could just kind of sit there and float on top of the water in this one place. It was nice. But also you have to consider that you can see, because of the different statements about the depth of the waters, and realizing that Mount Everest is a lot taller than Mount Ararat, like I mentioned, 2 miles taller, you would recognize that it would be impossible for, at this point in time, for the ark to be sitting on the mountain itself. Couldn't happen. So, and the word, that word rested, attests to it. It appears as we read the translation here that, well, you know, it was sitting on on the mountain, but that's not what the word means. The word means that it had come to to a location. And this is an important understanding. And so as we look at this, we come to realize that this passage of time is rather correct. Now, the idea that the 40 days was part of the 150, it's pretty clear that this could not be possible. Mathematically, it would not be possible. Because if you include the 40 days with the 150 and say, well, that 40 days is part of the 150, and if you add that up, you would come to passage of time, 346 days. Now, if you look at that and you recognize that, well, there is no year in length of 346 days. No one ever calls for a year length of 346 days. So obviously, the 40 days cannot be part of the 150. So you must add it as a separate item. It has to be added as a separate item. And when you do that, you come to the grand total of 386 days. This is an important thing for us to recognize, is this passage of time. And this may seem to you as a very strange thing. Well, it seemed rather strange to me at first, until I started thinking about this 386-day period. And I recognized that, well, you know, in God's calculated calendar, there is a period of time that's called an excessive month. And it's a period of time in which a intercalculated month is put into the year. Now, the reason for this, and this is I explain in detail in the other presentation on the calendar, it is explained in detail, but the reason for this is to keep the sun, the moon, and the earth in alignment. And so from time to time, the moon has to circle the earth 13 times in a one-year period. And as a result of that, you end up with a length of year for that, Hebrew calculated length of year, of 385 days. Well, we have 386 days. Well, how come we have 386? And when that of course, isn't very helpful either. And so if we continue to look down the scriptures and come to verse 13, and we read in Genesis 8:13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed, the surface of the ground was dry. And this is kind of an interesting thing, because we see that it tells you very accurately, again, describing the fact that this happened on the first day of the next year. And so if that is true, the year of the flood, not the length of the flood itself, but the year of the flood, was 385 days in length, which is a calculated calendar length. In what this really, and I believe this is the reason why God put this, all of these dates and times and passages of times here in Genesis 7 and 8, was so that if we look carefully, and actually this is what God wants us to do, is to study His Word. And after all, it was Christ who is feeding us. And if we look at this, we realize that that is exactly what the length of time was in that year of the flood. Now, of course, the flood itself was somewhat shorter than that because there was no flood the first month. The first month and 16 days of the second month. So it's clear that this is the passage of time. Now, there are some additional problems that need to be addressed. And it's important that we understand this because here we see in verse 13, we know that, you know, Noah took the cover off and he looked down and boy, the ground is dry, but he didn't go out of the ark. Well, there was a very good reason why he didn't. We need to see this, and some might say, "Well, you know, this just shows how illogical the Bible is." Well, no, it's not. Not if you look into it. And verse 14, and it says, and in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Well, wait a minute. I thought on the first day of the first month it was dry. Well, that's because we have to understand that there are two different words used for that word, for dry. The first one in Strong's is 27:17. Yeah, and it doesn't mean dry. It means that there is no standing water on the earth, no standing water that Noah could see. Doesn't mean that the soil wasn't sloppy wet. After all, it had spent many days underwater and was totally penetrated. The water, of course, totally penetrated the earth. And so, naturally, you would have a very muddy situation out there. And so, he says, in verse 14, and in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Now, that word for dry is 30:01, and it means dry. It means that the earth was not, it was, could be even considered desert dry. There was no, it was in a condition that people, that you could walk on it without a problem. And obviously, if you look at the passage of time here, we see that the 27th day of the second month, we have 30 days in the first month, 27 in the second, comes to I believe 56 days. You have 56 days for the earth to dry up. Well, also in 56 days, vegetation would grow. And the animals coming out of the ark needed this vegetation. And so that is a reason to live on. I mean, without vegetation, it wouldn't make any difference if the people had survived the flood. If Noah had survived the flood, if there was no vegetation, there was no food. And so obviously this is something that was necessary. And so therefore, when you read this, it is necessary to look at the meanings of these different words, because sometimes the translators don't actually give you the right, or they give you an understanding. I mean, it isn't wrong that they said it was dried. It just that it has two separate meanings. And once you understand that, of course, everything becomes very clear. And so we see that, well, that is when Noah left the ark. Now, then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, in verse 15, you and your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives with you, and bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. And so we see that at this point in time, they leave the ark. And it's, and everything that we have covered here is covered in a logical, step-by-step way, understanding how, about this passage of time. So just to review what we have here as far as the passage of time is concerned, we know that the 40 days of the flood was not part of the 150 days that God maintained the level of the flood. And we know the reason, because he wanted to make sure that every air-breathing creature died. And as a result of that, we can add those days together. So you have 30 days for the first month, 16 days up to the flood, 40 days for the flood, 150 days to maintain maintenance of the flood, which gives you 236 days, and then an additional 150 days for the flood to subside. And we know exactly when that occurred. It occurred on the first day of the following month. If you add those up, it's 386. You subtract the one day, and you have 385 days. 385 days is a calculated calendar date. And you see, this is, once I realized this, and I started thinking a little bit further about this, I thought, well, wow, this is a really rather interesting thing. What if one would look at the calendar and be able to substantiate this 385-day year by looking at the calculated calendar years? Now, it was clear that in order to do this, one needed to be able to have something that you could base, some constant that you could use that would allow you to do this. And when I thought about this, I thought, well, the only constant that I know of is the seven-day week. And so if one starts the calculations by looking at the week and multiplying those days, you should be able to come to an exact time of the flood. And that is exactly what I did in the presentation on the calendar. So you can see what it was that motivated me to do the calendar study. It was this particular account of Noah and the Noachian flood. This is a very important understanding. And it gives you, it should give everyone an absolute basis for the seven-day week and for the calculated Hebrew calendar.